This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my colleagues, Andrew McCarthy, National Review Online, Thaddeus McCotter, American Greatness, turning our attention to a decision by Judge Tanya Chutkan about attorney generals in from many states associated with the Democratic Party, blue states, bringing a lawsuit, a temporary restraining order, it was the ambition, against Elon Musk because, and I read from James Freeman's column in the Wall Street Journal, the states argued that Musk's influential role in the government violates the Constitution's Appointments Clause, which generally require that powerful officers in the executive branch are formally appointed by the president and confirmed by the Senate. Andy, a very good evening to you. You've written trenchantly about this in the National Review Online. The Appointments Clause looks to be appropriate, and yet Judge Chutkan has stepped back from issuing a temporary restraining order, I believe because of the term irreparable harm. How does that work, Andy? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John and Thaddeus. Well, there's two tracks. One is the merits of the lawsuit. And the fundamental claim, as you mentioned, by the 14 Democrat-controlled states, and this lawsuit is brought by the attorneys general, their essential claim is that Musk's activities make him an officer of the United States such that he should be nominated by the president and subjected to a Senate confirmation proceeding. The other possibility with that, John, constitutionally speaking, would be statutory. In other words, if Congress had created a position by statute and Musk had complied with whatever the statute was, then that's another way of being qualified for the job. But everybody agrees in this instance that there is no statutory authority either for Musk's position or for DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency. So the ultimate merits of the lawsuit are whether Musk's status is sufficient under the Constitution. Then there is the preliminary question, which is, are the states apt to be so damaged by the lawsuit that the court can't wait until the ultimate merits are resolved and should intervene at the beginning to basically freeze the status quo, which is what a temporary restraining order does. In other words, it just freezes the matter in place while the court decides. And that decision could take a long time. In most instances, courts will not get involved at the preliminary stage by ordering anybody to do anything in civil litigation, because the theory is, in most civil litigation, you can be, if you're the plaintiff in a civil case, you can be made whole by damages at the end. So there's no reason for a court to intervene at the beginning when you haven't proved your case. So what we're dealing with here is the first question she had to decide, Judge Chutkan did, was whether she ought to intervene. There's a very high standard for that. It's about a five-step test. And a lot of times what courts focus on is the part of the test that where you have to evaluate what the chance of success on the merits is in the lawsuit by the plaintiffs. But you have to meet all of the different conditions. And here what Judge Chutkan said was because the way the states pled their case, what they're basically saying is if Musk does X thing, then Y catastrophic thing will happen or might happen. And what the judge said was that's too speculative. You have to be able to show irreparable harm that is imminent and likely if the court doesn't act. And they said that she said that they the states hadn't met that test, so she wouldn't intervene. But I think if you read the tea leaves of what she did in the suit, she's laying the groundwork to come back later on and say that Musk is not properly in the role that he's in because he needs to be confirmed by the Senate.
Thaddeus, you have a comment or a question for Andy?
A question for Andy. I'm reminded of the quaint theory of, quote, political question. that many times the court do not involve themselves in controversies that are essentially a political question. If this is about the presidential appointment powers and Senate confirmation, is this not inherently a political question that the court should try their best to avoid?
I don't think this is a question of the distribution of power between the executive and the legislature, which is the kind of thing the court usually stays out of. This is the kind of question that goes to whether an executive official, there's no question and should be no question that an executive branch official at the president's behest can scrutinize the records of the executive branch, because these are activities that the president is accountable for to the American people, and all the executive powers repose in the president. So I don't think there's a dispute about whether what Musk is doing is properly done by an executive official. The question is whether he is a qualified executive official because his responsibilities are so weighty that he should be deemed an officer of the United States and subjected to a confirmation process. Recall, Thaddeus, that this is exactly the issue that came up with Jack Smith in the Florida prosecution of Trump, where basically the question that was raised by the defense, and Justice Thomas had actually written about this in a concurrence in a different case, but the question was, given that Smith was exercising sweeping prosecutorial authority, the authority that was equal on the level of a U.S. attorney, a district U.S. attorney, and district U.S. attorneys have to be nominated by the president and confirmed by the Senate. Shouldn't Smith, under the Appointments Clause of the Constitution, have to be nominated by the president and confirmed by the Senate? And Judge Cannon found that because of the sweeping powers that he was exercising, he had to be subjected to that kind of a process. Nobody was saying that the executive branch couldn't conduct the prosecution. What they were saying was that given the nature of Jack Smith's remit and how sweeping it was, that he was in the category of officials who should be subjected to Senate confirmation.
But if on that point, Andy, the Senate has the power to confirm, has the means at its disposal to contest this with the president. A prosecution, the Congress has no power to prosecute. That has to be done by the administrative branch. So I would argue this is far more of a political question than Mr. Smith was, because that's inherently an executive function that is being dealt with.
Well, I think it's inherently look, prosecution is the quintessential executive function. That's what Justice Scalia said in his famous Morrison versus Olson dissent in the independent counsel case in the late 80s. I think the president's review, his scrutiny of executive agency spending and personnel decisions, is also quintessentially an executive task. So I just don't think there's any, there shouldn't be any controversy over whether somebody in the executive branch could do this. The question is, you know, whether Musk can do it.
Following the reporting at the Wall Street Journal, I learned that Joshua Fisher is the director of the Office of Administration at the White House, which means that he is in a position to say that Musk is a, quote, special government employee. And of course, there's an acronym, SGE. That means, according to Mr. Fisher, that Musk, quote, has no actual or formal authority to make government decisions himself, end quote. He then points to a counselor for the president who was also an SGE, Anita Dunn. What is he trying to tell us, Andy? This is a roundabout way.
Yeah, well, John, what this really is the flashpoint of the dispute, I think. So what this official is trying to say is that that Musk's duties are laid out in Trump's executive orders, and essentially all he's doing is giving advice. And to the extent that steps are taken, like funding is clawed back or federal employees are fired, that it's not Musk doing it. It's actually being done by cabinet level officials and agency heads who are confirmed by the Senate and whose right now, at least, there's no legal dispute as to their authority over their agencies. So what the Trump administration is saying is that Musk is basically just an advisor, and that to the extent that these actions are taken, they're being taken by people who actually are lawfully in their positions. And what Judge Chutkan seems to be saying is that regardless of how Musk's powers or authority is being defined in statements by the executive branch, the facts on the ground are that he is the one who is wielding the power. In other words, when Musk says these people need to be fired, they get fired. When Musk says we need to claw back this funding, it gets clawed back. So what she's saying is, no matter how they dress it up, de facto, Musk is wielding these powers. So what it's going to come down to, I think, is what's more important, how his authorities are defined, and whether the way things are being carried out, it's reasonable to say that Trump's executive orders in this regard are being followed, and therefore Musk is just an advisor, or is it, you know, if you had hearing and you developed a factual record of what actually is going on here, is Musk wielding these powers himself? And if that's the case, then you're going to have a big issue about whether he needs to be confirmed or not.
There's more excitement. Andrew McCarthy for National Review Online. Thaddeus McCarter for American Greatness. When we come back, the mayor of New York in the news. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.